You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Good to have you with us, folks, here on the Punt Podcast with William Hill ahead of a Premier League weekend. Dave Kellner, Tom Kerwin, Derek McGovern with you to preview these 10 matches with a betting slant here for William Hill. First of all, a warm welcome, a good morning to you, Derek McGovern.
Good morning, chaps. Just so sad that the international break's over and we're back to this tepid Premier League action. It's a sickness.
The humdrum returning of the Premier League after the wild antics, Tom, of England football team over the international break. Actually, a decent international break for England for once.
It was a decent international break for me too. I got married and the England captain turned up. So I was absolutely delighted. I thought someone had...
You didn't marry him, did you?
You know. No, sadly not. It was all right, wasn't it? It was okay. But I don't know what's kind of going to happen with Gareth Southgate. I can believe it, but it's still not being sorted out. Just give the man the contract and get on with it.
Yeah, it seems weird. It's been prolonged, isn't it? When everyone knows, Derek, that he's going to get the job because he's the only man available, basically.
Yeah, well, he's the man who threw away a 2-0 lead with 10 minutes to go. Southgate out.
Let's get stuck into the Premier League this weekend then, chaps. And we start with Manchester United versus Arsenal, which is Saturday lunchtime, 12:30 kickoff. Manchester United 8-5, the draw 23-10. And Arsenal in the market at 7-4. Enhanced odds, Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win was 16-5, now 4-1. And Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 5-1. That has been enhanced to 7-1. This is the rivalry again. Jose Mourinho versus Arsene Wenger. Throughout the years, there's been some animosity between the pair, Derek. And Jose Mourinho always has the best of it. They've actually met each other 11 times before in the Premier League and Mourinho's never been beaten. The only time Wenger's ever got the better of Mourinho was in the Community Shield back in 2015. But Manchester United, not the force of old, and Arsenal are unbeaten since the opening day of the season, Derek.
Yeah, interesting game. I read somewhere this week that United are going to, because of the Rooney business, they're playing it cool with their Christmas party and they're going to a Christmas panto this year, and it's Cinderella they've chosen because they've got a pumpkin for a coach. I mean, I can't believe what he's done at United, Jose Mourinho. I mean, okay, you know, during the Fergie years when they won them loads, but there were a few seasons when they finished empty-handed United, you know, quite more than people would imagine. And yet, they were fantastic to watch. They were always compelling viewing. And when they were on TV in a live game, you'd watch it anyway. No matter how much you hated them, you'd watch them because you're going to be in for a good game. Now the opposite applies. Now you know how United are going to set up, especially in big games like this. And Mourinho's first task or first priority in this game will be to keep a clean sheet, just as he did when he went to Anfield. He won't be interested in attacking. Whether that will be enough for United, I doubt, because I've been Arsenal's biggest critic for many, many years, as you'll know. In fact, I've been everybody's biggest critic, to be honest. but there's something about them this season. I still don't think they're going to win the title. No, I don't think they've got enough about them. But they've got enough about them to go to United and win. They've got a terrible record against Mourinho, Arsene Wenger. But he's also got a terrible recent record at Old Trafford, which surprises me. I think it's about 7 years since he last got a victory there. Lost 3-2 last season. The 1-0 defeat there, the 2-1 defeat, and of course that memorable 8-2 defeat five or six seasons ago. But everything seems to be in Arsenal's favour here. I think apart from the fact that Ibrahimovic is suspended, that's in Man United's favour. I'm going to go up, in a nutshell, I'm going to go for Arsenal here because I can't bring myself to back United. The way they're playing, there's something wrong in the squad. There's something not quite right, and I'll be back in Arsenal here.
Tom, it wouldn't be like Derek to go over the top. Do you think he's going over the top about Jose Mourinho's demise, or do you see this too?
I think anyone could see it, Dave. I think you can kind of see a man who has lost a kind of an idea of what he's actually doing. And I know that sounds kind of pretty drastic, but, you know, Mourinho, whenever he would say something to the press or things were leaked, it was done for a reason, and you could kind of see that reason. Now, I don't get it. He's whined, he's moaned. Even the stuff about him living in a hotel the other week was just seemed peculiar timing, really, for a man who, you know, is in charge of one of the biggest football clubs in the world, and he's got to exude confidence in himself, but also that he knows exactly what he's doing. And I don't think he does. One of the problems is they have injuries. So, all right, so Ibrahimovic is out this weekend. They have other players injured. Nobody has a clue. Ask any Manchester United fan. They don't know what team is going to be picked on Saturday. There's absolutely no idea. Now, they know roughly the personnel, but in what shape? Will Rashford go out wide? Will he go up front? Will Rooney play as centre-forward? Will he drop behind Rashford? There's options in midfield. The defence isn't sorted. The defence is weaker with some of the injuries. So I just think Manchester United are in disarray. And the question for them is whether they can last another year of Jose Mourinho's antics and spend again and again in the transfer market when seemingly he spent a lot of money and it's not drastically improved the team, has it? I'm with Derek on this game. I can't back Manchester United. You know, given the history, Mourinho versus Arsenal, given Wenger's run at Old Trafford, it doesn't really bother me. Arsenal are where they always are at this stage of the season. Some people are suggesting they've started brilliantly or better than in recent years. They haven't. You look at their points tallies over recent seasons, it's roughly the same. And then, of course, November's the problem area where they get injuries, suspensions, the weather turns, and all of a sudden Arsenal start to disintegrate, you know, going up to Christmas. But I can't see them doing that this time. I'm not saying they're going to win the title or anything like that, but I don't think we'll see going to Old Trafford as a particularly hard game. They're unbeaten since that game against Liverpool, Arsenal. That's 16 matches. Now, that's an incredible run in any league in the world. And also, I think there are going to be goals in this one. I really do. You look at recent meetings. Four of the last five have been overs. And it's even money for over 2.5 goals. I just think defensively, Bellerin's out for Arsenal. Manchester United, of course, have a few defensive injuries themselves. And I don't know what their approach is going to be, but I can see goals. I can see Arsenal winning 3-0. I can see it being 2-1. I can see Manchester United maybe even exploiting Arsenal's defensive frailties and getting a couple of goals themselves. But I cannot see Manchester United winning this game. So I think even money for over 2.5 goals is actually a fair price in this game between these two sides. But I've got to be with Arsenal in the over 2.5 goals at 100-30.
Do keep your eye on that team news as well. We are recording this on Friday morning and there are slight doubts surrounding Alexis Sanchez. And if he's missing for this game on Saturday lunchtime, that will impact Arsenal considerably because, Derek, without Alexis Sanchez, they are a much, much weaker side. They can't play with the same formation for starters because Sanchez can drop deep, whereas Giroud is just a target man.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's probably one of the reasons it's 7-4. I mean, with Sanchez, Arsenal are a different team. And without him, I look at players like Walcott and Giroud and the short of top class. That's why I think they won't win the title. They rely too much on him. I'm still not in the Ozil fan club, by the way. But I just think, you know, they shouldn't be 7-4 for this match. Arsenal, Man United are there for the taking. And the reason I suspect is that, you know, because of the doubts about Sanchez.
Yeah, indeed. Arsenal then for both Tom and Derek in the market at 7-4. Arsenal to win that match on Saturday lunchtime. Tottenham versus West Ham is the tea time kickoff, 5:30, and Tottenham are 11-20 to win the match. The draw 3-1 with West Ham at 5-1. Couple of offers with Harry Kane involved in them. Harry Kane to score anytime was even money. That's been enhanced to 5-4 here with William Hill, and Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win was 13-10, now 6-4. If you're looking for the West Ham offers, Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win was 10-1. It's been boosted to 14-1. And Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 18-1, now 20-1. Tom, despite being the only unbeaten side in the Premier League, Spurs have now gone 7 games without a win. And the last time that happened was way back in May 2004. And Mauricio Pochettino will be desperate to claim 3 points here. And it does look like a good opportunity because West Ham away from home this season have been pretty dismal. They've lost 5 of their last 6 away games in the league. And Tottenham do have Harry Kane back. And that gives them a different dynamic because he is the focal point in attack. It gives them that long ball prospect, Harry Kane being back in the side.
Yeah, and it's the energy he brings up front that is so crucial to them. And clearly 2 weeks ago, he was not fit against Arsenal. I mean, I know he scored his goal, but I thought Tottenham were really good in that game, in their own third, in the middle third. But in the final third, something was missing. Obviously, Dele Alli was missing. And Harry Kane himself, you know, I think a couple more weeks, some minutes under his belt, you know, I think he'll I think he's naturally fit anyway. I don't think it's a big problem for him, kind of the layoff he's had, but he does need a few weeks to kind of get back, you know, sort of into full speed. I don't know, Tottenham, I mean, they're unbeaten, and that's great, and Tottenham fans will probably crow about that, but I don't see many people seeing them as realistic, serious title contenders, because the other teams at the top have kind of blown teams away. They've put in memorable performances already, particularly Liverpool, particularly Chelsea as well, Man City too. I just don't see it from Tottenham. They're drawing too many games, and I'm not 100% convinced about this. I think they've been disrupted a little bit with a couple of injuries. Alderweireld is a big loss for them at the back, and obviously Harry Kane has been a miss. Dele Alli's not been playing brilliantly. Christian Eriksen's not been up to form. There's too many players in that Tottenham side, and although they're not getting beat, they're not playing brilliantly for me. And the problem is, of course, is West Ham's away form, as you quite rightly point out, Dave. It's pretty woeful. They only got one win at Crystal Palace, and even then, that could have been anything in the end of that game. But they've lost matches with a bit of a whimper at West Brom, Man City, Everton recently. So it's just a question of whether you could even see West Ham scoring, and I can in this one. I think Tottenham are getting a little bit jittery. By the end of the weekend, you know, they could have been pushed down the division. It's that tight at the top. I'm just not sure about the result. Tottenham at 11-20. There's something nagging in my brain about Tottenham and their recent performances. So I'm going to play both teams to score in this one. I think there's going to be goals. But I think West Ham, not necessarily they can win the game, but they might be able to get a result. But both teams to score is where I'm going.
Both teams to score for Tom. By the way, if you're looking at Harry Kane, he's got an exceptional record in London derbies. In his last 15 London league derbies, he's scored 15 times, Harry Kane. So do look at those enhanced odds offers involving Tottenham's talisman. Derek, do you see value in this match?
Well, let me say that Tottenham are the worst bet of all time at, at 1-2, where I'm 1-2. I mean, it's so bad, I might even have it myself. It's criminally bad. This is a team who haven't won in seven matches, as you say, who've scored only three goals in their last six. And, you know, that's a shocking record. This is a team's only 3 points to get above Everton. And yet they're getting all kinds of acclaim, it seems to me. You know, they're like, it seems Pochettino gets the press. Arsene Wenger has got over 20 years. I mean, that's for Liverpool or Manchester City, that kind of form would be a crisis. That's shocking form. I've got no idea where they're so sure to win this. I mean, it's not as if West Ham are playing as badly as they were earlier in the season. They've won three of their last six. They only lost one of their last six, by the way. That was at Everton. They've beaten Chelsea in that run in the cup. This looks like a West Ham win to me, you know. They've got players back as well. Creswell's back. Ayew, I think, is back as well. I'm just not having Tottenham at the moment. Tottenham, by the way, also got a big Champions League game coming up in midweek. I think is it Monaco, the Monaco game?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, this is West Ham. The more I look at this, the more West Ham become big bets here. All the losses I've incurred this season in the Premier League, and there's a lot, they're hefty. I'm going to try and recoup them all on West Ham here.
Oh dear, you'll be watching X Factor on Saturday night with tears streaming down your face, Derek. That's what I can see happening this weekend. Let's move on then. Middlesbrough versus Chelsea, Sunday 4 p.m. televised. Middlesbrough 6-1 to win this match. The draw 3-1, and Chelsea 1-2. Enhanced odds: Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win was 5-4. Now 6-4. Chelsea to win to nil was 7-5. Now 7-4. Of course, Chelsea have won their last five Premier League games without conceding. So do look at that Chelsea to win to nil at 7-4. And Derek, ever since Antonio Conte went to that 3-4-3 formation and allowed Eden Hazard that freedom he desires, they've looked unstoppable. In the league, they're playing superbly. Diego Costa's playing well. I know you don't like him that much, Derek, but he has scored 9 goals in his last 12 Premier League games. And Costa and Hazard, they're affecting matches like they didn't under Jose Mourinho. And Chelsea odds on 1-2 to win this match.
No Champions League engagements or European engagements to worry them too. I mean, they are playing above the ground. They're playing, them and Liverpool are the teams of the moment. That result against Everton, or the performance, I know that John Motson called it the best team performance he'd ever seen. They had the Match of the Day commentator. But I think it was a lot with that was down to how abysmal Everton were. But they'd gone to Southampton the week, their away game before that, and did a professional job. They remember they got that very early goal and then pretty much shut up shop and caught Southampton on the break. I don't think they'll do that against Middlesbrough, because Middlesbrough don't come out at you, you know, to catch them on the break. I think this is going to be a very, very cagey game. And if you can get any kind of 10 to 11s for it to be goalless at the break, I'll be all over that, because this looks like a nil-nil game right until about the 78th minute, and someone might break the deadlock then. The way Chelsea are playing, they should be the better here at 4-7, 1-2, wherever they are. But I'm still not convinced about them. I need to be convinced before I back teams at those kind of prices away. And the way Middlesbrough are playing, you know, they were lambs to the slaughter, supposedly, against Arsenal, drew 0-0. Supposedly, the two against Man City, drew 1-1, could easily have won it. Beat Bournemouth, who were going well at the time, 2-0. You know, that's decent. Well, it's more than decent form. I'm not going to go for them to win the game at 6-1, because they don't pose enough threat going forward. But I'm going to go for the draw here. Middlesbrough are a team that might just upset Chelsea a little bit.
Here's one for you, Derek, as well. If you're looking on the William Hill website or on the app, we do have half markets. First half correct score, 0-0 at half time, 2-1, Derek.
Yeah, I meant to draw at half time. I didn't mean 0-0. Okay. Yeah, I meant to draw at half time. Yeah, 0-0, I would be back in that 2-1. 2-1, I'd be definitely back in that.
Yeah, that's if you're looking at the draw at half time, that's on the William Hill website and the half markets as well. But that 0-0 at half time could look good at 2-1. Something you said, Tom, about Middlesbrough the other week on the podcast, that they keep it tight, and they did that against Manchester City in that 1-1 draw, and against Arsenal as well. So this might not be plain sailing for Chelsea.
It might not be, but I think it will. I really do. I think I looked at Chelsea's trip to Southampton and I was very impressed with them. It went exactly to plan. They scored an early goal, which is exactly what Conte's sides need to do. I think if Middlesbrough are successful in keeping Chelsea out till the break, until after that, then there's going to be a bit of anxiousness coming into Chelsea's play. But I think Chelsea are absolutely flying. You know, away from home, have been scoring goals. Costa's got 5 in his last 5 away matches. I just can't see Middlesbrough. I think going away from home, that kind of siege mentality, you're going to the Arsenal, you're going to Manchester City, you're going to try and shut up shop. I think it's a little bit different at home. I think the fans will expect them to give it a bit of a go. And if you do that against this Chelsea side, the way they're set up now, they can hit you quickly on the break. And I think there'll be just too much class in this Chelsea side for Middlesbrough to deal with. I know, as I said, they've had some good results. They've upset us, you know, a few times already, and you know they're in a decent position in the league now, Middlesbrough. But I think this game is going to be too much for them, and I think it cannot be underestimated what a boost it is for Chelsea not having those European commitments. You know, to be able to basically spend all week setting up his side, he's had 2 weeks to set up his team. You know, for this game at Middlesbrough, I don't think they're a team that are going to slip up very often. They might have had their slip ups kind of out of their system, and this should be a routine victory. I don't think, you know, I know Chelsea, you know, obviously they smashed Manchester United and Everton recently on home soil. I don't think it'll be a big margin of victory. I think you could quite easily cover the -1 at 6-4. But I think a Chelsea win, and, you know, Diego Costa scored at 6-4 for the same price. I think they're both equally fine bets. I really do. You know, Costa, he's scoring home, he's scoring away. Hazard doesn't score many goals away from him. It's always when Chelsea are away, I'm always a bit loath to kind of back him, but Costa, I think he likes the challenge of upsetting everybody, doesn't he? But certainly home supporters.
West Brom versus Burnley is Monday night football. West Brom 19-20, slight odds on to win this game. The draw 9-4 with Burnley, 16-5. The enhanced odds, Chris Brunt to score and West Brom to win, was 18-5 here with William Hill. That's been boosted out to 5-1, and Sam Vokes to score and Burnley to win was 6-1. That's now 8-1. Two very hard-working sides head-to-head on Monday Night Football here, Tom. Not one for the casual viewer, you wouldn't think, on Monday Night, this one.
I don't know what you mean, Dave.
Burnley have picked up only 1 point and scored only one goal away from home this season. But uncharacteristically for a Tony Pulis-led side, West Brom have only kept one clean sheet in their last 9 Premier League matches at home. I found this tough to call because instinctively I wouldn't want to back West Brom at odds on, but Burnley just don't travel, Tom.
No, they don't, and you know it doesn't really matter to Burnley, does it? Sean Dyche, if you questioned him, and I'm sure he's been asked about his side's away form, he'll think, well, look at the league table. We're ninth in the table. We are, what, 9 points away from Sunderland, away from Swansea. We're 4 points clear of Hull City. They've got the other teams kind of at arm's length. Now, that can change very quickly over the course of the weekend. And by the time, you know, we get to Monday night, Burnley could be a lot closer to the relegation zone. But it doesn't matter to them. They know that they're going to get points at home. They've already proved it. They've beaten Everton. They've beaten Liverpool. They almost got something against Arsenal. You know, they've had good results on home soil. So I think away from home, I think Sean Dyche treats away games as in, well, we'll set up, we'll try and get a point. If we don't get it, doesn't really matter. It doesn't really make a world of difference to us. So they're not ambitious. They're not going to go for it. And neither are West Brom. I think this has probably got draw written all over it. I really do. I think when push comes to shove, West Brom don't necessarily have the kind of quality that I want to be back in terms of breaking down a side like Burnley. But likewise, Burnley away from home, you know, I can't be backing them to get a result or even score a goal. That's where they've really struggled. I mean, they didn't score away at Accrington, you know, so this season, you know, their five away matches, they've scored one goal, and that was against Southampton. So I think they kind of know that, they set up like that, and I think they probably take a 0-0 all day long.
The draw 9-4, 0-0, by the way, 7-1, I suppose a few people will be looking at the 0-0 in this game. Derek, your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to go begging, stealing and borrowing, particularly all three, to back Burnley here at over 3-1. I don't understand the price. They're above West Brom in the league table. I know that's principally because of the home form, but that suggested a decent side, and a decent side ain't going to go the whole season away from home without winning. You mentioned they only scored one goal, and you said, Tom, oh, and that was against Southampton, as though that was some sort of an indictment. I mean, not too many teams are scoring against Southampton. I mean, but, you know, Burnley are a tidy side at the moment, and I can't believe that this kind of price. Dale, I've said a million times on this bulletin over the years, a team in the Premier League at 3-1 or more away from home, playing against an average side, and West Brom definitely fall under that heading. They have to be back. We've seen it a number of times already this season. And I don't care that they've only scored one goal away from home. They're going to score against West Brom, and I think they're going to win. I think that's too big. That's 16-5.
Yeah, 16-5 for Burnley to win the game. Let's have a look at these non-televised matches. The 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday, and we start with Southampton versus Liverpool. Southampton 5-2. The draw 12-5 with Liverpool in the market at 21-20. Enhanced odds, Charlie Austin to score and Southampton to win was 4-1, now 6-1. And Roberto Firmino to score and Liverpool to win was 5-2, now 7-2. Real shame, Derek, that this one isn't televised because it's one of the matches of the weekend.
It's a
real cracker, this one, Derek.
Yeah, finished 3-2 for Southampton last season. I really don't know what to think about this game, you know. And I think most of the punters' money will go on Liverpool, the way they're playing, the way they're rolling teams over. But still thick in my memory is that result at Burnley when they went there and lost 2-0. And there have been too many games like that from Liverpool. Not this season, I'm saying, but over the years when they've gone to grounds where they expected to win and they throw in an awful performance. For instance, was it Watford last season when they were absolutely abysmal and lost 3-0? This has got a bit of that hallmark about it, you know. I've just got a sneaking feeling. Maybe it's because I'm a Liverpool fan. I just can't believe they're playing as well as they are and it's going to continue.
You're so positive about the rest of your bets every single weekend, Derek. And when it comes to Liverpool and they're winning every single week, you're negative about them.
Yeah, I know, I know. In fact, I should avoid Liverpool matches with me punting money. I don't know. I just like Southampton. They've gone slightly off the boil, I think. I think that Chelsea result when they lost 2-0 at home, I think it knocked the stuffing out of them. And then they won that next game in the Europa League, wasn't it, against Inter Milan. And, you know, in the first half, they were abysmal, but played great in the second. And then they come back and lose at home. You know,
that was a shocker. They opened the score and they were one up inside 10 minutes as well there. That was a shocking loss, really.
I know. It's results like that. I mean, you know, shows you why punters are the skins and bookies spend winters in Barbados. I mean, it came from nowhere, that. So I'm saying you can't trust Liverpool at your side, but you can't really trust Southampton at the moment given that result. I don't know. I find this the toughest match of all to call on the coupon. I do instinctively, I think Southampton are a little bit overpriced, you know, because they've had some good results against big teams. They're not frightened of anybody's reputation, and their manager is doing sensationally well. You said the same about Liverpool as well, by the way, and Jurgen Klopp. I just think Southampton are a little bit overpriced, and I'm going to go for them. And you know, with a recent result, I think it was in January this season, they beat Liverpool 3-2. I'm going to go for that. Southampton to win.
Okay, Southampton 5-2 for Derek. I've been to the well, Tom, with this bet a few times this season. Liverpool to win and both teams to score is available at 14-5. They've scored 40 goals, Liverpool, in 14 competitive games so far this season. And in their 8 wins in the league, both teams have scored in all 8 wins, which is incredible, really. And it's still a decent price at 14-5. They are without Adam Lallana, or look like they're going to be without Adam Lallana this weekend, as Jorginho Wijnaldum is likely to come in. They won't have to alter that formation, which has been so effective, though, the fluidity of the front four.
No, and that's the beauty of how Klopp's got his team organised. Anybody who can come in can slot straight in. It doesn't really change the way that they play. It's just going to be interesting how teams kind of try and adapt to Liverpool now, because they've kind of set their marker up. We kind of said this about Leicester at this time last year. We said, well, surely teams are going to work out a way of dealing with them, or, you know, some kind of system to kind of halt them. And no one managed to do it last year. For all these genius managers we supposedly have in the Premier League, and we've got even more this season, nobody worked it out. And I think the reason you can't do anything about Liverpool at the moment is they're that fluid, they're that quick with the ball, they're intent to get forward and get shots away and certainly try and feed in Coutinho wherever they can. It's difficult for any team to kind of defend against. Coutinho, I would back in on the goal scorer markets as well, by the way. He was flying for Brazil during the international break. He scored in 3 of his last 4 trips to St. Mary's. But I'm a big fan of Southampton too, but when I kind of look at their home form this season, the question for me is, if you play Liverpool, to win the game, you have to score at a bare minimum 2 goals. But I would, you know, an educated guess would be 3 goals to win the game. Now, they've only done that once against Burnley. They drew with Watford. They've drawn with Sunderland, both 1-1. They only beat Swansea 1-0. And then they were kept at arm's length, I thought, by Chelsea, who were very professional and did what they had to do. Now, what will Liverpool's game plan be? It will be exactly the same as they have done. Can Southampton match them in any way? Can Southampton cause a threat? Because Liverpool's weakness is defensively. Southampton's strength is defensively. So it's a bit of a mismatch in that front. Do you know what I mean? I can't see Southampton maybe causing Liverpool enough problems to kind of get a result. So I actually think it could end up being similar to the Chelsea game. I think if Liverpool score really and they're capable of doing it and have done it, I think it'd be quite a routine victory. And I think that's why you're getting good prices again on the handicaps here. You know, just minus a goal for Liverpool is 13-5. And I just can't see Southampton scoring the goals that they need to get a result.
If you are looking at Philip Coutinho, by the way, he is 6-1 to score first and 19-10 to score any time. On to Goodison, and Everton are hosting Swansea. Saturday, 3 o'clock. Everton 6-10 to win the match. They draw 16-5 with Swansea 4-1. Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 5-4, now 6-4. Everton to win and both teams to score was 11-5, now 5-2. And if you're looking at Swansea, Gylfi Sigurdsson to score, Swansea to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 16-1. That's been enhanced to 20-1, and Tom, Swansea have now gone 10 league games without a win, and Bob Bradley, who only took over a month ago, is already under threat if the betting markets are to be believed here. The American is into 2-1 to be the next Premier League manager to lose his job, and Everton looking to bounce back from that 5-0 thumping at Stamford Bridge. How do you see this?
Well, Everton were awful. I mean, for all the people who talked about Chelsea were good in that game, Everton were so bad. And Swansea just keep making the same mistakes. I've watched them a few times the last few weeks. I quite like them. They score goals. I like watching them play, but they're so naive sometimes. They have no idea how to sort of handle a match. You know, against Stoke a few weeks ago on a Monday night, they left themselves so open on the counter-attack that Stoke didn't even have to work that hard to score the goals. And you know, all's not well in the Everton camp, though, either. It's obviously a lot better than Swansea, but their recent run has not been good. They're dropping points. And Ronald Koeman must have so much confidence in himself, really, that he can come into a club like Everton and suggest that their star striker and best player, it deserves to basically play somewhere else or play somewhere better and bigger. And he's tipped the City rivals to win the title. I mean, they are risky comments to be making, but, you know, if you're Ronald Koeman, I suppose you can get away with saying it whatever you want. But ultimately, he's got to start backing up with results, because There's simmering, I think, around Goodison. You know, I've got a few friends that are Everton fans, and, you know, while by no means are they calling for him to go or anything like that, there's just a bit of simmering tension because they feel that they've dropped, but they should be closer, you know, to Liverpool and to Chelsea because they've dropped stupid points. You know, they lost at Burnley. The stuffing at Chelsea, fair enough. But, you know, draws at home against Crystal Palace, they got the point at Man City somehow. So I don't know. I think Everton will win this game simply because Swansea are so bad. So, you know, for all my talk about Everton maybe having a few problems, they've got far, far too much for this Swansea side. And unless Bob Bradley's worked on something amazing over the international break and got some new game plan to go forward, again, I'll be looking at the handicap market here of Everton -1.75.
Tom mentioned there, Derek, that the Everton fans, some of them are simmering at the moment, but they're still seeing wins at Goodison, aren't they? They're unbeaten in their last 8 matches at home in the Premier League. They've won 5 and drawn 3 of those. I know they got stuffed against Chelsea, but this looks like an ideal opportunity for Everton to bounce back, Derek.
Well, yeah, if you had to pick the likeliest winner, you would say Everton. But would you want to back them at 1-2 or 6-10 as they are here? I'm not so sure. I mean, you're right about Koeman. He's talking like a manager who wants away, doesn't he? You know, saying that Lukaku should go to a bigger club and then saying that, you know, then tipping Liverpool for the title. I mean, he's about as popular at Goodison right now as I am.
Is that just Goodison, something, Derek?
Yeah. Something's not right there, Evan. I've been saying to Everton fans all week, I love winding them up because I love Martinez when he was at Everton. You know, remember, I tipped him for the title when he finished about 19th, remember? and, you know, Everton, we're not going to win anything. But under Martinez, they played tremendous football. Now, they're not going to win anything this season, but they're playing shocking football. Where's the improvement? I'd rather have Martinez. It was the same when Roy Evans was manager of Liverpool. He got all kinds of stick. I think they only won one FA Cup or one League Cup while he was involved there. But they did now play some terrific football. And, you know, sometimes, you know, ask me, would I want a team playing terrific football and maybe come up short or suffer the stuff that Mourinho churns out and wins the league? I'd go for the former, you know. I honestly would, but maybe that's just me. Anyway, back to this game. Swansea are 4-1 on my bet here. They won at Everton last season. The international break has come at a fantastic time for them because although they've been losing all these games, their performances have probably been a little bit better than the results imply. It's given Bradley the international break 2 weeks. He hasn't been at the club long enough. Giving them 2 weeks to, you know, to work with the squad, that's got to help. Whereas Everton, on the back of a 5-0 pasting at Chelsea, have been probably itching. They didn't want this international break. They needed another game to get it out of their system. I think Everton's in Swansea's favour here, and I'm going to have a go at them here at 4-1. They're going to get a win soon because they're a better side than their league position implies. And I think at 4-1, I think Everton are there for the taking right now.
Crystal Palace versus Manchester City is next. Palace are 5-1. The draw 16-5. Man City 8-15. Andros Townsend to score and Palace to win was 11-1. It's been enhanced to 14-1. And Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win was 15-8. It's now 5-2. Derek, Palace have been involved in plenty of high-scoring games recently. But unfortunately for them, they've come out on the wrong side of all of them. They've lost 4 straight in the league, Derek. And Middlesbrough, as we've mentioned on this podcast already, well worth their point at the Etihad a fortnight ago. A big shock after City's performance against Barcelona. But maybe there was a little bit of letdown after that wonderful night, Derek. And they travelled to Selhurst Park on Saturday.
Yeah, it's hard to get a handle on Palace. I've never known a manager like Pardew who's involved with clubs who would go on a long losing run or a long winning run. You know, they never see. It's never like a couple of wins and a defeat or a couple of defeats and a win. It's either one thing or the other. 4 on the spin now against West Ham, Leicester, Liverpool and Burnley. Games that they should be getting something out of. Conceding a lot of goals in that spell, but also scoring a few. I look at this match and I'm guided by the odds and I can't, there's no way I could back Man City at 8-15 here the way they're playing and with a big Champions League game coming up too because they blow hot and cold. I've never seen a team like it blow so hot and cold. That result against Middlesbrough was a shocker for them. Failed to beat Southampton recently. There's something not quite right at City at the moment. On paper they look unopposable. But it's not being transmitted on the pitch. And they're beatable right now. And sooner or later, Palace are going to get a good result because that's just the way they blow under Pardew. You know what? I think Palace are overpriced here at 5-1. I'm going to go for them.
Wow, Palace 5-1 for Derek. I think Pardew's pretty easy to read, actually, Tom. He comes into a club, has that honeymoon period, which lasts anything from 1 to 3 months, and then gets divorced from the club and ends up getting sacked. He's... The form of his teams quickly goes down the toilet and it's happening with Crystal Palace maybe earlier than anticipated.
Yeah, and he's always backed, isn't he? You know, more often than not in the transfer market, wherever he's been, he ends up, you know, bringing players in. I mean, man, you know, at West Ham, he had Tevez and Mascherano. Remember that picture of him with his arms on those two like he won the lottery? You know, I can never get a handle on Crystal Palace because, you know, when they first came back into the Premier League, their home form was very strong. You know, it was a difficult place to come. It's probably one of the best atmospheres in the Premier League, you know, in terms of the fans getting the volume of noise going. So I've always thought of it as a tricky place to go, but that's faded away over the last year. You know, teams have gone and got results and they haven't really broke sweat in doing it. For me with this one, I'm a bit like Derek. I can't back Man City. They're too hot and cold as well. But what I think I can back in this one is goals. You know, I'm looking at Man City's away victories this season, these scorelines. 5-0, 4-1, 2-1, 2-1, 3-1 and 4-0. The fact that Palace in the last three league games are averaging pretty much 5 goals a game, I don't think that's going to change in this one. I really don't. I think Man City, I always think with a club like Man City, the international break doesn't really help them. You know, I think they need to sort of get a run of games going and get some momentum going. I think the way that they're playing and kind of the project that's happening there. But Palace is still going to be leaky at the back, and Palace at Selhurst Park could still give some of those City players who have got, some of them still have a soft centre, could give them a bit of a tough time. So I think there's going to be goals in this one. And actually, I quite like the look of over, I mean, over 2.5 is 8-15, but I quite like the look of over 3.5 at 6-4. So I think that's where I'm going to head.
Watford versus Leicester next. 9-5, Watford to win the match. The draw 23-10, Leicester 6-4. Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win. Was 7-2, now 5-1. And Islam Slimani to score and Leicester to win. Was 3-1, that's been enhanced to 4-1. Leicester do have the Champions League coming up midweek, Tom. And the word of warning here is that they haven't won any of their four games preceding a Champions League tie yet this season. They've had some tough games in that spell, Tom, but it's something definitely worth bearing in mind anyway.
Oh, without a doubt, you know, it completely changes the mentality of the players. And actually, unlike most clubs that have had Champions League runs or even debut seasons in the Champions League, you know, I don't think any club, I certainly can't remember any club being as open as Leicester have been, you know, certainly with the manager and basically saying, hey, look, we're not worried about the league. The league will take care of itself. We are all about the Champions League and kind of, you know, to trying to keep that going because they want to make their mark there and they've done extremely well in the group stages. They have had tough fixtures. That's right to point out before these Champions League breaks, but clearly their minds are elsewhere. And I don't necessarily think, you know, if they couldn't get motivated for trips to Anfield and trips to Old Trafford, you know, even if it is 4 or 5 days before a Champions League game, I don't know how a trip to Vicarage Road is going to inspire those Leicester players. The only good thing from their point of view is that, of course, Jamie Vardy scored in midweek. Because that was worrying. That was starting to get talked about more and more and more. And now, at least, he's got a goal. Hopefully, that'll kind of relax him a little bit. But, of course, you know, Watford have a similar problem with Troy Deeney. He's been stuck on this 99 goals for seemingly 13 years, the way it feels like. You know, every single game, he's got his T-shirt ready. You know, 100 not out, whatever it might be. Some clever slogan with a sponsor attached. And he hasn't been able to do it. So he's not been firing either. And Watford are... I don't know. I can't back Watford. I just can't back them this season. For some reason, that defeat there at Burnley, and I watched that game, and the arguing after the full-time whistle when they beat Middlesbrough, those two images are kind of in my head with Watford. Mm. I don't think, again, all is brilliant there. They're not a team I want my money to be resting on. And I think Leicester will go there and try and play the old way they did last year. I think it'll be a bit of back-to-basics for them. But I think this game ultimately is probably going to peter out into a draw. Neither sides are in amazing form. I can see some might look at Leicester having the edge, but I can't see it. I think it'll be a draw.
23-10 for the draw. If you are looking for a goal scorer here, by the way, Islam Slimani is 17-10 to score any time. He's part of that enhanced odds offer as well. But all four of his goals for Leicester in all competitions have been headers this season. And Watford have conceded the most headed goals in the Premier League. They've conceded 8 times in the air this season. Derek, can we forget about saying Leicester are the champions of a big price every single week now? Because they're not playing like champions in the Premier League.
No, it's time to forget that. Put that one to bed. You know, you think the champions are 8-5 to win at Watford. You've got to back them. But no, those rules don't apply. this season with Leicester. Everything you said about them with the Champions League engagements, you know, coming up, they're there to be opposed. It's not quite as big a match for them in the Champions League this season as the earlier matches because they've already got so many points on the board. But still, that's where all their attention is focused. And, you know, we sort of laugh at Watford, and yet if they win this game, they're on the same, and Man United lose, they're on the same number of points as Man United. I can't, apart from when you got paced at Liverpool, I can't remember a Watford game. I can't, you know, when you watch the Premier League week in, week out, you know what teams are doing what, you pick a team like Middlesbrough, you know what they've been doing the last few weeks, but Watford, I can't remember any of their games. It's just, I'm just looking here, 1-0 win over Hull, a 0-0 draw at Swansea. 1-0 win at Middlesbrough. It's tidy without being anything sensational. I think I'm going to go for them here for the simple reason that Leicester, they've made it clear. They're not even trying to hide it. It's the Champions League or bust for them. And, you know, at the moment, the league form doesn't matter for them. And that's the reason I'm going to go for Watford, who are outsiders for this game. And in my eyes, they shouldn't be.
Now, I like the draw there as well with Tom. 23-10, the draw. And you're saying, Derek, there that we're laughing at Watford. You spend half your season laughing at Manchester United, so you're laughing at both teams anyway.
I laugh at every team, you know that.
Sunderland versus Hull next. Sunderland 23-20. The draw 9-4. Hull 5-2. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 2-1, now 3-1. And Robert Snodgrass to score and Hull to win was 5-1. That's been enhanced to 7-1. Both these teams arrested poor runs of form, Derek, with wins a fortnight ago. Sunderland won at Bournemouth and Hull beat Southampton at home. These two sides are probably going to go down. I've got no clue what's going to happen in this game, Derek.
Exactly. You look at the prices too and you can't get anything worked up about there either. I mean, if one team had won last week or before the international break and the other team would have lost, the price would have been massively different, wouldn't it? You know, but they're both coming up into this picture on a bounce, and I honestly don't know. They're both poor teams that you're inconsistent. You can't get a handle on them. What on earth do you do? It's a relegation 7-pointer in every respect. I know what people say it's a 6-pointer, but I always say 7-pointer because it annoys more people. I'm going to go for the draw. I'm going to go for the draw at 12-5. Basically because I haven't got a clue.
Okay, the draw there for Derek. Tom, have you got any idea about this one?
Not really. I mean, it's the biggest game of the weekend, I think. I honestly do. I think if Hull City manage to win this game, they're 8 points clear of Sunderland. And Sunderland are pretty much marooned. They're gone. But if Sunderland win this game, you know, move up to the eight-point mark, they're 2 points behind Hull. They're 3 points behind West Ham, Palace, Middlesbrough. I know all those teams have got to play this weekend. But psychologically, this is a monumental game for Sunderland because they can drag Hull City, you know, sort of down to their level and drag themselves up and away from Swansea, who I don't think will get anything at Everton. So in that respect, it's an absolutely massive game. Now, the question you've got to ask yourself is, do you back David Moyes and that Sunderland team to be able to respond to this kind of match? Because a point suits Hull City, and that is how Mike Phelan will set up. He won't go looking for the win. If it comes his way, brilliant, he'll take it. But he will set up for the draw. The question is, can Sunderland kind of break them down? I don't know. I was impressed with Sunderland with that victory at Bournemouth. I was really impressed with them. But at home, they have struggled and they've made life so difficult for themselves. But they have been scoring goals in the last four matches. I don't know. It's a very difficult one. I'm slightly edging with Sunderland, but I can't back them at the price. I think if Sunderland win, it's going to be by the goal. So I'd take them on the match handicap, on the handicap tie, Sunderland minus goal. Because if Sunderland do win, I think it will be very, very tight.
I must admit, if you're going for Sunderland here as well, Tom, Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win, enhanced from 2-1 to 3-1. If Sunderland are going to win, I think he's probably going to score.
Yeah, I think he's always seemed to have this, you know, when they had that run last year, he didn't score many goals at home, did he? All his goals seemed to come away from home, but you're right. I mean, you know, he got his penalty against Arsenal. He got two in that defeat against Crystal Palace. So, yeah, I think when a team is that reliant on somebody, and to be fair, you can make the same point with Hull and Robert Snodgrass, you know, this season. He's been the main man for them up front. He's been the main man looking to sort of create things or score. You know, his free kicks are dangerous. And when he plays well, Hull have played well. It's when he's been injured and off the boil, it tallies up pretty nicely with Hull this season. When Snodgrass hasn't been playing or he's been out of form, you know, Hull City have really struggled.
We finish with Stoke versus Bournemouth. Stoke 5-4, the draw 23-10, and Bournemouth 11-5. Enhanced odds: Wilfred Bonny to score and Stoke to win. I was 14-5, enhanced to 4-1, and Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win. Was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 6-1. Tom, Bournemouth's recent run has been a little surprising. Loss at Middlesbrough may be excusable, but then defeat at home to Sunderland wasn't. And they're now a point behind a resurgent Stoke City side in the Premier League. And Stoke are unbeaten in six. And actually, since the start of October, only Chelsea and Liverpool have picked up more points in the Premier League. And the most astonishing thing as far as Bournemouth are concerned is Jack Wilshere's completed a full 90 minutes in his last three games. The last time he did that was back in February 2014. Stoke versus Bournemouth to finish off with, Tom.
I think it's probably the time I maybe publicly decide that myself and Bournemouth are on a break. I'm a big fan of them. I have been for a number of years now, and I've had my fingers burnt by Bournemouth a few times this season. So it's the point of the season where I literally wash my hands of Bournemouth. You know, we might have a reconciliation at some point, but for now, I can't be backing them, especially away from home. They're winless in seven of their last away Premier League games. And Stoke are resurgent. You mentioned the stat there about the points they picked. Only Chelsea, Liverpool have picked up more points since the start of last month, October, than Stoke. That is very impressive. And we always knew Stoke were going to get better. And I just can't back this Bournemouth side. Now, I know this is going to be the weekend where Bournemouth are going to pop up with a victory, aren't they, and a fantastic away performance. But I've got to look at Stoke, and I've got to find a bit more value than the 5-4 here. So that means I've got to go with my man, Joe Allen, haven't I? Joe Allen to score, and a Stoke win, it's 18-5. This man is on a roll. And you know, my love has transferred from Bournemouth to the Welsh wizard, Joe Allen.
Derek?
Well, I think actually Stoke at 5-4 are value. What you say about the result, more points than anyone bar Chelsea and Liverpool, is impressive. But it's three wins and three draws in that spell as well. That's, you know, in olden days, that was championship winning form. It's tempered a little by the fact that they've had a fantastic run of fixtures. West Ham, Swansea, Hull, Sunderland, Man United, West Brom, and now Bournemouth. You know, I suppose they're doing what's expected against teams like that. Bournemouth, on the other hand, they're like, you know, if they were a tennis player, they'd be K. Nishikori. Because every time I watch him, I think he's a tidy player, man. I keep backing him, and he keeps losing. And Bournemouth, come on, they played Sunderland and Middlesbrough in the last two games and lost to both. They played Watford a few weeks ago, only drew 2-2. Okay, it was away from home. They're doing nothing, are they? They're doing nothing. But Stoke are doing everything that's expected of them. I think 5-4 Stoke is a good bet here, and I'll be honest. It's vying for my bet of the week, but I need a bigger price.
You do, because we'll come to the Naps table now. And Derek, you're minus £64.50. Stoke actually let down the treble a fortnight ago. They only got a draw, didn't they, Stoke, a fortnight ago?
Yeah,
which let down the treble, unfortunately. Tom, he drew the longest straw, if you can draw a long straw. He got Burnley a fortnight ago, 23-10. Minus £4, Tom, and I'm plus 74.75 at the moment. I just bat Liverpool to win and both teams to score every week, and it keeps landing, so that's been the tactic. Derek, you lead us off. What's your nap this week?
I am going to go... you're going to have to wait till Monday night for it. It's Burnley, 16-5 to win at West Brom.
Burnley to win at West Brom for Derek, 16-5. Tom, your nap?
I'm going for Chelsea. I'm going to go for Chelsea to win minus a goal at Middlesbrough.
Chelsea minus one on the handicap market at Middlesbrough. That's available at 6-4. 7-5 now, in fact, that is. I'm gonna go back to the well. I'm going Liverpool to win and both teams to score again at 16-5, even bigger. I like that. So Burnley at 16-5, Chelsea minus one at 7-5, Liverpool at 16-5, 41.33-1 is that treble this week. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in. Remember, download this podcast via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. Check us out on iTunes as well. And do go to audioboom.com for all the on-demand audio. Just type in William Hill and you'll find it there. If you're having a bet on the Premier League this weekend, good luck and thank you for listening to the Punt Podcast.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go. Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.